Tonight's reading is taken from Daniel chapter 10, and it can be found on page 895 in the church Bibles. That's Daniel chapter 10, found on page 895. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold round his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling.
Then he continued, Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. Because I was detained there with the king of Persia, now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the kingdom concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face towards the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looks like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed, he said. Peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Speak, my lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, everybody, and please do keep that in front of you. We're going to need to refer to that chapter together as we go. It's on page 895. Well, the chapter we come to in our studies in the book of Daniel, it contains a number of challenges for the preacher and for the reader. But in my preparations this week, I have found it to be packed full of truths which have been so encouraging and spiritually healthy. And so let's pray that all of us will find the same this evening. Lord, we thank you that in your love, you have given us your word. Please open our eyes to see truth in this chapter, which will strengthen us in our knowledge of you, our trust in you, and our love for your Son, our Saviour. Amen. The question I want to start with is this: how does God prepare us for hard times ahead? How does God get us ready for challenges in the future? If you join the army, your commanders know that you have challenges ahead, and they go to great lengths to prepare you for them. So you spend weeks learning how to iron your uniform, how to polish your shoes, and how to march. And then I suppose the fitness training starts and the assault courses. And then it's the field craft, learning how to survive out in the wild, and the weapons training. All of this is vital so that when you get to the battlefield, you are ready, you're prepared for the challenges ahead. Now, most of us are not planning to join the army, but all of us have hard times ahead. Some of us may be facing hard times right now. And here in Daniel chapter 10, we see how God prepares us for them. So have a look at verse 1. Verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. Now Cyrus was the king who in the first year of his reign allowed the Jewish exiles to return home to Babylon. And 3 years later, Daniel is still there in Babylon. It's probably because of his age. At this time, he's in his mid to late 80s. And while he's in Babylon, Daniel receives another vision, another revelation about the future of God's people. And verse 1 tells us that this message was true and it concerned a great war or a great conflict. The revelation that Daniel will receive shows that the future for God's people is not plain sailing, but it's one of war, of conflict and struggle, right up to the ultimate victory at the end of time. Now, we don't actually get to this revelation that God gave Daniel until chapter 11. The structure of Daniel chapters 10 to 12 is like this, if you can make it out on the screen. In chapter 10, God prepares Daniel for the revelation he's going to give him about the future of God's people. That's our chapter. And then next week in chapters 11 to 12, God gives Daniel the revelation about the future for his people, which is war and conflict right up to God's ultimate victory at the end of time. So our chapter, chapter 10, is about God preparing Daniel and us for hard times ahead. We can't assume that life, especially the Christian life, will be easy. We'll see it next week in chapter 11. We must expect suffering and times of discouragement and even times of persecution. And here in Daniel 10, God prepares us. And he gives us four truths to hold on to now, which will strengthen us for challenges ahead. See if you can remember them and take them to heart as we go through. So the first truth, God is present and glorious. Verses 2 and 3, we're told that Daniel mourned for 3 weeks. And it becomes clear later that these were the 3 weeks leading up to the vision that God would send him. Perhaps he was mourning for his own sin or for the sin of his people, like he did in chapter 12. Later in verse 12, we're told that during this time of mourning, he was praying for understanding and he was humbling himself before God. Well, after 3 weeks, Daniel's prayers for understanding were answered. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold round his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. This figure in Daniel's vision was a glorious figure of immense splendor and the finest of gold around his waist. And his whole body was like chrysolite, which is a resplendent green precious stone. He was a figure of splendor. He was also a figure of holiness. So the lightning in his face and the fire in his eyes speak of one who is light and purity and goodness. And he was a figure of immense power. I mean, the lightning indicates that. And the voice, which is like the sound of a multitude, a great crowd. Well, who is this awesome figure that Daniel saw in his vision? At the very least, this is an angel, an angelic figure. Well, actually, I think it's more than that. In the New Testament book of Revelation, which is so like Daniel, in Revelation chapter 1, John, the writer of Revelation, is given a vision of the risen and glorified Jesus. And that vision of Revelation 1 is almost exactly the same as this. Sash of gold, eyes like fire, feet like bronze, voice like the sound of rushing waters. Now, I believe that what Daniel saw that day was a vision of the pre-incarnate Christ. Remember, for all eternity, God has been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here is a vision of God the Son in all his glory before he came into the world. What a sight. And did you notice in verses 7 to 9 the effect that this vision of God had? And the men who were with Daniel didn't even see it, they just heard it, but they were overwhelmed with terror. And Daniel, who saw the vision, well, he was sapped of his strength. He turned pale, he was helpless, and he fell to the ground. You see, the living God, the God of the Bible, is so glorious, so holy, so powerful, that when anyone catches a glimpse of his glory, they fall to the ground in awestruck terror. God is present and glorious. Years ago, I was walking in London, and I saw coming towards me on the pavement Frank Bruno, who was the boxing heavyweight champion of the world. And he wasn't looking like that. He was fully dressed and everything. Now, you would expect Frank Bruno to be big. He's the heavyweight champion. Let me tell you, he was massive. He blocked out the sun. As he walked towards me, I felt strangely cold. And then I felt small and weak and puny. And as he walked past without meaning to, I sort of tracked him like this. And as he came past, I just said, boom. And he just walked on, I think, absolutely used to it. And then there was someone walking with him, his friend. And his friend looked so confident. No wonder. He was walking through London with the massive Frank Bruno. It was an awe-inspiring thing to see him right there. Well, if you times that by infinity, you get a sense of what it was like for Daniel to see a vision of God. He realized that God was present and glorious, and he was overcome with a sense of his own puny weakness. Now, the glory of God is a challenge. He is far greater than we can begin to imagine. If we saw God now, we would hit the deck in awestruck wonder. But the glory of God is also an immense comfort. Because if we trust in Jesus, this is the God who is with us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? Maybe that this is just the comfort you need as you go into the week ahead. Perhaps you're facing challenges. You don't know what the way through is. You don't know what will happen. But remember, God is present and glorious. If you trust in Jesus, this is the God who is with you, infinite in power, perfect in goodness. No one can stand up against this God. Nothing can stop him achieving his good purposes for our lives. With this God with us, we are ultimately safe. It's the main way that God prepares us for challenges ahead. He wants to show us that he is present and glorious. There's a second truth as well, though, that God teaches Daniel and us as he prepares us. And that is that spiritual warfare is real and vicious. Now, this is one of the passages of the Bible that pulls back the curtain and shows us something of the unseen spiritual war going on behind the physical world that we see. The spiritual war between God and his angels and Satan and his demons. So in verse 10, a hand touches Daniel. We're not told if this is the hand of the figure in the vision or another messenger. For reasons I'll come to, I think it's most probably another messenger, an angel. And he speaks reassuringly to Daniel. He explains in verse 12 that he has come in response to Daniel's prayers at verses 2 and 3. And then in verse 13, he explains the delay, the 3 weeks of waiting. In verse 13, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." Now those verses, verses 13 and 14, require careful thought. Who is this Michael who is mentioned? Who is that prince of the Persian kingdom referred to? Well, Daniel is mentioned three times here in the book of Daniel, and also in Jude and Revelation in the New Testament, where it is confirmed that he's a spiritual being, an archangel. It seems, therefore, that this prince of the Persian kingdom is also a spiritual being who was resisting Michael and Daniel's messenger, and who was trying to stop the messenger bringing God's word to Daniel. It's a glimpse of this unseen spiritual world as the evil one and his demons try to stop God's word reaching God's people. Now, I don't know about you, but I love spy dramas. I enjoy most of the Bond films, not all of them, but most of them. But they're a bit over the top, aren't they? I'm not sure it's really like you see in the Bond films. Much more realistic is a new thing out on ITV, A Spy Amongst Friends. Now, these dramas remind us that there's an unseen war going on that we're often not aware of. The Secret Intelligence Service are working to infiltrate organized crime. You've probably got spies from other countries trying to find out our government's secret. Our spies are trying to stop them. All of this is going on. It's real, but we don't see it. Well, Daniel 10 gives us a glimpse of another different unseen war that's raging between God and his angels, and the devil and his demons, who do all they can to stop people hearing God's word. Paul writes of this same war in Ephesians chapter 6, when he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Well, how do you react to this glimpse that God's word gives us of this spiritual warfare? I think there are two mistakes that we can make when we think about this. One mistake is to overestimate the devil's power, and then the other mistake is not to take the devil seriously. So first of all, don't overestimate the devil's power. The devil is not God's equal. The devil could never stand up to the awesome God of verses 4 to 6. That's why I think the messenger from verse 10 onwards is not God, but is an angel, because this prince of the Persian kingdom could never resist God himself. Now, the devil can only do what God permits him to do. For now, God allows the devil to keep operating. He does this to test and to strengthen our faith. But the devil has been decisively defeated when Jesus died on the cross, and he will be utterly destroyed when Jesus returns. So don't make the mistake of overestimating the devil's power. But the other mistake is not to take the devil seriously. He is a fierce enemy. The prince of the Persian kingdom tried to stop the messenger bringing God's word to Daniel. The devil does all he can to stop people hearing God's word. He would love to keep you from coming to church. He would love to stop you reading your Bible. He would love to snatch away God's word so that we forget it or we don't understand it. He would love to stop us speaking to other people about Jesus. So this is the second truth that God gives us to prepare us for hard times. Yes, God is present and glorious. We're safe with him. And yet spiritual warfare is real and vicious. There's no doubt that the devil will be defeated. But for now, he does all he can to stop people hearing God's word. And so we must be alert to his aims and ready to resist him. Well, our third truth shows us the main weapon that God has given us to resist the evil one. Our third truth, prayer is vital and powerful. Now, we saw last week in chapter 9, Daniel was a great man of prayer. But even he had to be reminded that prayer is vital and powerful. Let's look once again at verse 12 and the messenger's words to Daniel. Verse 12, then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Remember verses 2 and 3? Daniel had been praying for 3 weeks before the vision came to him. He had been praying all that time for understanding. And it was only 21 days or 3 weeks later that the answer came. But now Daniel's messenger tells him that since the very first day he started praying, his words were heard. Not only were Daniel's prayers heard, the messenger says, "I have come in response to them." Prayer is powerful. Daniel was praying for understanding, and God sent this mighty angel to give him that understanding. Although he didn't know it, God was working through Daniel's prayers to defeat the spiritual forces of evil and to bring his word through to his people. Prayer is powerful. Now I want to show you 2 pictures of weapons. The first is this one. It's called the Decathlon 100 Soft Archery. And it comes with 4 arrows, each one with a big rubber tip on the end. And we have huge fun with this in the vicarage garden. So that's my first weapon. This is the second one. Here we go. It's the Rapier Air Defense Missile System. And it comes with 8 missiles, if you can see, without rubber tips on the end. And it's used to defend yourself against hostile attacking jets. We don't have one of these in the vicarage garden. And as far as I'm aware, they're not available for garden play at all anyway. Well, when we pray, it often feels like we're using a Decathlon 100 soft archery. It often feels like our prayers just aren't getting through and our prayers aren't doing anything. But the truth is, our prayers are in fact like the Rapier Air Defense Missile System. Our prayers are powerful. When a believer in Jesus prays, whether they're the youngest and newest Christian or the most mature Christian in the church, God hears that prayer. And our prayers are powerful weapons in the unseen war that's raging. And when we pray, there might be delay. Daniel experienced that. When we pray, we might not get the answer we're hoping for. I'm sure Daniel experienced that as well. But we know that God hears our prayers, and he works through our prayers to overcome the devil and to bring God's word to people. So I want to challenge us. If you're a believer, could you pray every day this week for God's word to get through to people? For God's word to be heard and trusted and obeyed? God will use those prayers as powerful weapons in the spiritual war that's raging. So do we personally want to grow in understanding, in our knowledge and love of the Lord? Well, we must pray for God's word to get through to us. Do we want to see loved ones come to faith? We must pray for God's word to get through to them. Do we want to see the nations of the world bow their knee to Jesus? We must pray for God's word to come to people. Prayer is vital and powerful. Well, there's one more truth which strengthens us for the challenges ahead. And that is that God's word strengthens his people. Do you notice, as we heard the chapter read, how it is that God strengthens Daniel for the challenges ahead? It was through his word. So verse 10 once again. "A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, 'Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling." So he called Daniel, "You who are highly esteemed," which can equally be translated, "You who are greatly loved." He reminds Daniel, trembling before the awesome God, that he is greatly loved by that God of glory. Now look again at verse 18. "Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace, be strong now, be strong.' When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, Lord, since you have given me strength.'" Again, the messenger tells Daniel he's highly esteemed, he's deeply loved by God, and he tells him to be strong, and as he speaks, Daniel is strengthened. Now, famously, Popeye, the cartoon character, was strengthened by tins of spinach. And until recently, I'd always assumed this was just in the story. But in fact, recent scientific research has shown that spinach does, in fact, strengthen us. Not because of the iron, as we all thought, but because of something called nitrate, which really does boost the muscles, although not as much as in the cartoon, I'm sure. Well, spinach strengthens us physically. It is God's word that strengthens us spiritually. That's why it's so important that we hear God's word, that we're here on Sundays. Why it's so valuable to be in a small group where others are encouraging us to take in the word of God. It's why it's so important to build a habit of reading the Bible on our own each day. It's God's word that reminds us that we are deeply loved. So loved that God sent his Son to be our Saviour. So loved that when we trust in Jesus, God doesn't just make us his servants, but his children. So loved that God lives in us by his Spirit. And so loved that God is bringing us to be with him forever. Just as God touched Daniel in this vision, as we read God's word, he touches us by his Spirit. He speaks to us of his love, and he strengthens us for hard times ahead. So here are four truths to hold on to, four truths to take to heart, four truths that prepare us for challenges ahead. The first is about God. God is present and glorious. If we trust in Jesus, this awesome God, almighty and holy, is with us. We are safe and victory is assured. Spiritual warfare is real and vicious. We can't see it, but we have an enemy who wants to stop us hearing God's word. And so prayer is vital and powerful. Every prayer is heard. And God uses our prayers to defeat the forces of evil and bring his word through to people. And God's word strengthens his people. We need God's word to be reminded how loved we are. See, if we neglect God's word, we forget how loved we are and we grow weak. But if we keep on listening to God's word, well, we know we're loved and we're strengthened by him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that in your love you prepared Daniel and you prepare us for challenges that must surely lie ahead. Help us to remember, O Lord, that you are present and glorious. Please increase our knowledge of your power and your goodness. Lord, remind us that there is a vicious spiritual warfare raging, the evil one trying to stop people hearing your word. And so help us, Lord, to pray that your word would be reaching us and reaching others. And we ask, O Lord, that you would strengthen us in your word, as you remind us how deeply loved we are in Jesus Christ. Amen.